Jesus really didn't ask it, but I'm asking it today. Would Jesus ask you, am I the light of your world? How does he shine in our lives? What does he illumine? Resplendent, I think, is one of the Greek words that was used in our passage this morning. To be able to see clearly. This time of year is special in a number of ways. I enjoy the snow and the brightness of the snow. One day, driving up through North Petersburg, about half of the mountain, halfway down the mountain, was all white with snow. And it was just beautiful. Light is a wonderful gift from God. Being able to see is a wonderful gift from God. And what a tragedy when one is born blind and has to spend their whole life in darkness. Songwriter Fanny Crosby was the one who said, just think, she was blind. She said, just think, the first face that I am going to see is the face of Jesus when I get to heaven. Some didn't have to wait. In fact, quite a number didn't have to wait when Jesus was here on earth because he healed the blind. One of the most miraculous things Jesus did. There is evidence for creation, an argument for evidence for intelligent design that just uses the eye because it's so complex, it could not have just developed on its own. A wonderful blessing God has given to us. And he still says, am I the light of your world? Our scripture is from Mark 8, 22 to 26. He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. This miracle is only recorded in the Gospel of Mark. The miracle comes after the unbelief of the disciples in verses 14 through 21 and before Peter's great confession of faith. You see, the disciples had to have a clear vision of who Jesus was. And the blind man was an illustration, an object lesson that Jesus used to instruct his disciples. Bethsaida was a town at the mouth of the Jordan River as it flowed into the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum was on the northwest side. Bethsaida was on the east side of the river. So these men brought the blind man to Jesus. Mark wanted us to see a friend brought by friends to Jesus. I think Mark enjoyed those stories the best. He was the one who gave us the account of the four men who brought their other friend who was paralyzed to Jesus, and they had to cut through the roof to get him to the Lord. Now, these friends had heard about Jesus' reputation. In chapter 7, verse 37, the reputation was he, meaning Jesus, does all things well. And they wanted to bless their friend. The word used means to beg. They knew Jesus could heal, And now they wanted Jesus to heal their friend. Do you have friends that push you closer to Jesus? Those are the kind of friends we need. Who can you think of right now that God wants you to bring to Jesus? Do you know someone in misery? If so, it's time to minister by bringing them close to Jesus. And then begin begging him to touch your friend or family member through prayer. You can trust the hurting to Jesus. Jesus was tender with this man, as he had been with the man who was paralyzed and the deaf man. It is estimated that over 30% of people who come to the Lord come because there's a major problem in their lives. When one of the people you know are going through a difficult time, don't forget to tell them about God's love for them. The Bible said that Jesus took him by the hand. He took the blind man and he led him out of the village to an area of privacy, not to put him on display. I had someone on Facebook put one of those little things up that said, "Do your good deeds, but don't make them public. Don't parade them all over the internet." I put, "Who would do that?" And they responded, "Well, there's an awful lot of people that like to show off when they do good." Jesus took him aside, led him away from the crowd to a private place. There's a sense that we participate with Jesus in sharing the gospel. I like that idea because I don't share the gospel very well. I get tongue-tied and, you know, I stumble through the gospel presentation so many times. But Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." You see, it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride, the Church, who says, come. And we can give that open invitation to everybody we know, everyone who's thirsty, everyone who doesn't know Jesus can come. And we can ask them, we can invite them to come. We bring people to Jesus when we share the gospel with them. They're saved when Jesus takes them by the hand and leads them into faith. The next thing we see is something that's kind of strange. Jesus spit on him. And usually we think that's a negative thing, don't we? We would say, "Well, how dare you spit on another person?" But the divine comes in contact with the human. Jesus didn't have only one way to heal. If he did, we would copy that one method and make the method more important than the healer. Even when healing other blind men, Jesus used different methods. Matthew chapter 9, two men regained their sight when Jesus simply touched their eyes. Matthew chapter 12, we read that Jesus healed a blind and mute man, but we're not told how. In Mark chapter 8, a blind man named Bart could see after Jesus simply spoke a word. In John 9, a man who was born blind was healed after Jesus spit on the ground to make some mud, and then this mud was put on his eyes. He couldn't see until he went and washed in the pool of Siloam. This man gave a one-sentence summary of his transformation when he declared in John chapter 9, verse 25, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Jesus has the power to heal in any way, with any method that he chooses. And he still can heal today. And then Jesus asked him what he saw. We know that Jesus could have healed this man with one step instead of two. He'd done it before. He would do it again. And he could have done it this time. Alexander McLaren, commenting on this miracle, said that Jesus was accommodating the pace of his power to the slowness of the man's faith. I know there are many times that I need a second touch, and a third, and a fourth, and many, many more. I'm so glad that we have a God of the second chance, who heals and reheals, who forgives and forgives again. So many things in my life have come rather slowly, but the Lord is patient with me. Now Jesus asked the man, "Do you see anything?" I don't think Jesus really needed to ask. He knew it was a partial healing. His purpose was to demonstrate who he was. He wasn't to be confused with a doctor or a healer. Jesus was and is the Son of God. The man responded, "I see men, but they look like trees walking. I can see some a little more than ever before, but I still don't see clearly." I remember when my sister got glasses for the first time. And she put her glasses on and she was looking at the trees. And she'd never seen the little twigs before. And it all kind of blurred together. And she was amazed by those little twigs. I don't know if she remembers it even. I'll have to ask her. But that healing, that complete healing. Those of us blessed with good eyesight, at least when we have enough light, should realize the blessing that we have. Jesus laid his hands on him again. He opened his eyes, and his sight was restored. He saw everything clearly. Clearly means brightly, shining, resplendent. For the first time. Who is this miracle for? Well, it was certainly for the man who is blind. But Sinclair Ferguson answers, "What is the significance of this? Was it that this man was a particularly difficult case for Jesus? Hardly. Was this miracle then like others? A sign? Yes. But to whom? To the man? No. But to the disciples. And this is confirmed by the fact that Jesus had already asked them about their vision of him in verse 18. He was now leading them by the hand to the point at which their sight would become much clearer. And Peter would confess, "You are the Christ," in verse 29. Their spiritual understanding did not come instantaneously, but gradually. They too needed the second touch from the hands of their master. In the previous passage, Jesus made two statements that showed this miracle was about their faith. He said, "Having eyes, do you not see? And do you not yet understand?" Jesus is opening their eyes to the truth of who he is, and it's a process. They just needed to take the next step, just like us. There might be a next step for each of us as well. And that step is between you and the Lord. It's interesting how Jesus meets each of us at our point of need. And then Jesus sent him away. He sent him home, as he did with so many people. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." That seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? What was it about Bethsaida that made Jesus tell this man to stay away? Lots of miracles were done there. But because of the hardness of their hearts, Jesus had pronounced a curse on this village. In Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you." Remember, that was the area that Queen Jezebel came from. One of the greatest examples of a sinner in the Old Testament. Yet they would have repented if they had seen the works that had been done in Bethsaida. We need to make sure in our lives that there's nothing that limits the work that God wants to do in us and through us. What we believe and how we live. Jesus wants us to be the light of the world. He wants us to be examples. Good examples, not bad examples. There's plenty of bad examples around today. He wants us to be good examples of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus wants you to reflect his light into your world. Are you willing to let him use you? Is he the light of your world?